Some of you might remember where you were and what you were doing when you heard that Pearl Harbor had been attacked. Or a generation later, more of you probably remember where you were and what you were doing when you heard that President Kennedy had been shot. Or later on that decade, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or President Kennedy's brother, Bobby. Or a generation later, you might remember where you were and what you were doing when you learned or saw the Space Shuttle Challenger explode not long after takeoff. Or not quite a generation later, you might remember where you were when you heard about the shootings at Columbine, or the bombing in Oklahoma City Federal Building, or, of course, 9/11. And these events take hold in our lives because on them history changed. The world moved in a different direction. And it's not only with negative experiences. Positive experiences can have that same effect on us. For example, the same year that Pearl Harbor was bombed, Ted Williams hit 400 for the last time in the major leagues. Just a year after Dr. King and Bobby Kennedy's assassinations, we landed a man on the moon, Apollo 11, a full year ahead of the commitment made by President Kennedy at the beginning of the decade. The same year that, or just shortly after, the Challenger blew up, we saw the dismantling of the Soviet Union, the fall, the collapse of the Berlin Wall, and the fall of apartheid in South Africa. And that's a little bit of an irony because the space race was largely fueled by the Cold War. And then the same year that 9/11 took place, the human genome was fully described. That's also a bit of an irony because in the same year that we saw human life end in rather dramatic and unexpected ways, we gained new and previously very detailed understanding of life as it is. So these things don't just happen, you know, world-changing, history-redirecting events don't only happen at the global level, although that's part of it. It can also have the same impact when it happens in our own lives. For example, some of you might remember where you were, exactly how it happened when you met the person who would become your spouse. You might remember your wedding day. You might remember the births of your children. If you're younger, you might remember graduations, high school, college. You might remember making the team that you didn't think you were going to make, or getting a seat in the orchestra or the band, or a spot in the play, or accomplishing academic success of some kind. And likewise, personal world-changing events are not always positive. You might also be able to remember exactly where you were when you lost your dream job, or when you realized that your marriage was going to end, or when you had the terrible news of the death of a family member or a deeply loved friend. Well, we remember all of these things because these are the days where our history is made. These are the days when life changes for us. But we're here today. We're here today. And many of you looking way sharper than you usually look. I'm talking about the guys, all right? I don't want to get in that kind of trouble. We're here today because it was on this day that the world changed more than any other. More than any of the things that I mentioned, more than any of the things that have taken place in your own life, more than any of those, this is the day in which history changed, the world changed, and history was redirected. And not just subtly redirected, not even a veer onto a different course, but history took a 180 on this day. Didn't start like that. Didn't look like it at all a couple days earlier. 2 days earlier, Jesus of Nazareth, who had built a huge following on the basis of his teaching, his healing, his miracles and signs, and really his person, folks were just drawn to him. And he had built such a following because there had been expectation that in him and what he was doing, the long-expected promises of God's acting in history to take care of his people, that those were taking place in and through this person of Jesus. And yet just 2 days earlier, the Romans had executed him on a cross, and in an action that had been instigated by his own people. He died around the middle part of the afternoon. And it was early enough. They were approaching the Sabbath. And it was early enough that they were able to get him into the tomb before sundown. But it was not so early that they could fully complete the burial preparations before sundown and the beginning of the Sabbath, when such things were not permitted. So here they are now, roughly 36 hours later. Oh, and I should say, that day of Jesus' death, which we call Good Friday, was anything but good for Jesus' family and close friends and really all of us. And that day would not even be on our calendar were it not for this day. That day would only be remembered by Jesus' closest friends. But now on this day, 36 hours later, or thereabouts, Mary Magdalene goes to finish what had begun 2 days prior. There's a problem. You can't prepare a body that isn't there. So when Mary gets to the tomb, she sees that this large stone has been rolled away. In tombs then, it wasn't like we bury people now. It was, think of a cave with a stone in front of it, and that's pretty close. And the stone's been rolled away, and she immediately goes to Peter and another unnamed disciple and says, "They've rolled away the stone. The Lord isn't there. Come and let's figure out what they did with him." And Peter and the other run to get there, and they see that the tomb is empty, and they look inside, and the cloths that had bound Jesus are there, but he's not. And it's either because the cloths are there and he's not, or it's because of the way the cloths are lying, but they determine that he hasn't been taken away, but he's simply vanished. And they don't have full understanding of what resurrection is. I mean, it had been expected, but not in this time and in this way. And so they do something which is kind of in keeping with how the disciples are. They just go back to their houses. It's fascinating. So Mary stays. Like Jesus knows, you want a job done right, give it to a woman, right? Mary stays. And she's weeping. And she sees two angels who say, "He's not here, he's been raised." That's not really any comfort to her. She doesn't know what to do with that either. And she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. And if you follow these next few weeks of the Easter season, you'll see in these post-resurrection appearances, Jesus is not always immediately recognized. He's not a ghost. He's not an apparition. He's often confused for somebody else. But here Mary speaks to one that she thinks is the gardener, and they have a little bit of an exchange, and she still doesn't recognize him until he calls her by name. Until he calls her by name. Mary. Mary. And she sees. She sees not only who he is, but she sees once again who she is and who she is to him. And this day, this is the day then that Mary's world turns again. Well, who was Mary? There are a whole lot of Marys in the New Testament. It gets kind of confusing sometimes. But this one, Mary Magdalene, we know from the Gospel of Luke, was from a town called Magdala, which was a pretty wealthy town. They had commerce and industry there. And when Jesus went through there, the Gospel of Luke says that he cast seven demons out of Mary. Now, we have our modern sensibilities, and we don't really know what to do with that whole thing. But it would be sufficient for us to say, even in our modern sensibilities, that before she met Jesus, Mary was deeply troubled. She was deeply troubled. And he gave her her life back. And as a response to that, Mary and some other women then followed the disciples and Jesus around. They went from place to place and helped provide support. And I'm not talking about emotional support. Helped support him financially. This is not typical. You know that in biblical times, it was difficult for women to own property, to have means. And nowhere in the Bible does it describe where Mary's means came from. But there were legitimate ways for this to happen. While women didn't typically inherit, if they didn't have brothers, she could have received her means through her father when he died. Or, there's no mention of her ever having been married. There's also no mention that she hadn't been married. And so it's entirely possible that her husband could have had a business or means of his own, and those went to her after he died. We don't know. And in fact, the church has been so troubled by not knowing that sometimes they've created stories around Mary, which are not biblically supportable at all. So tonight, I believe at 7 o'clock on NBC, Jesus Christ Superstar is being shown live, right? Now, for those of us of a certain age, you know, rock opera was Jesus Christ Superstar and Tommy by The Who, all right? But because it's Easter Sunday, they're going with Jesus Christ Superstar. And what you'll find if you watch this is you know, great stars and beautiful music and a compelling story. But Mary's character in this is... There's some poetic license taken with Mary's character. So there's absolutely nothing in the Bible to support any claim that her morality is questionable. So enjoy the show, but don't read too much into that. Mary would have said before this day that the best day of her life was the day that Jesus came into it. That was the best day of her life. But now, this is the day when Jesus is in Mary's life in a renewed and permanent way. It's renewed because she had seen him die on the cross. She had seen him put into the tomb. She never expected that she would see him again. And now here he is in front of her. And she does what any of us would do. She grabs a hold of him. And we don't know that Jesus is one of these don't hug me guys. But he says, don't hold on to me. You and I have things to do yet. We can't hang out here forever. You and I have things to do. You've got people to go tell because those other guys just went back home, probably got their pillows over their heads. Yeah. And I have to complete this movement which began on the cross and is happening now in my resurrection and will be completed as I ascend to my Father. We have things to do. It's also renewed because Jesus, even after he ascends, so we've got 50 days of appearances, but after that, Jesus ascends. He's no longer physically present in a visible way. And yet there's never any sense, when you read the Acts of the Apostles, there's never any sense of his followers missing him or any sadness because they've received the Holy Spirit, which is the means by which they experience Jesus' presence going forward. So it's renewed, and it's also permanent. Now that Jesus has been raised, Mary also can expect that she will be bodily raised in God's time. And so she will never again be separated from her Lord and from her friend. Well, that would make a wonderful personal story were it only Mary's story. But it's our story as well. Because Jesus answered some really, really big questions on this day. He answered questions like this: life or death? Sometimes it's hard to tell which way it's going to go. But this is the day in which life defeated death, not in a one-off, but forever. Love or fear? Sometimes it's hard to know. But this is the day in which love defeats fear once and for all. Perfect love casts out all fear. There is no greater love than this, than that a person lay down their life for their friends. But here now that love wins. One more. Does God simply create and step away, or does God remain engaged, actively recreating within the world? Today, recreation or ongoing creativity defeats decay. Now, when we got up early this morning, and when we got dressed a little nicer than usual this morning, we were not like Mary in that we did not come here today and expect to find Jesus still in the tomb. But we may have come here today feeling like there's more decay in our lives than creativity. We may have come here today feeling like there's more fear in our lives than love. We may have come here today feeling like there's more death in our lives than life. And the way that turns for us, friends, is the same way that it turned for Mary. Because like her, she is calling us by name. And when Jesus calls us by name, he invites us into his life. He invites us to share his life here and now and forever. Like Mary, some of you may have heard Jesus call your name many times across your lifetime. But it may be that for some of you, today is the day. This is the day when you hear him call you by name for the first time. Gary, Donna, Bruce, Lisa, Val, Terry, George, your name. This is the day. This is the day. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.